Hi, friends. Welcome to the By Faith Podcast. I am your host, Christine Hoover, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week this season, I'm talking with a guest about how they're using their unique gifts and talents in their specific context and season of life. My prayer for you is that by listening, you'll be encouraged, challenged, and equipped to step out by faith using your particular gifts for God's glory. This episode is graciously sponsored by The Good Book Company, publisher of Goodbye to Goodbyes, the latest addition to their beautifully illustrated and award-winning Bible storybooks for children. In this vivid, moving, and exciting retelling of the story of Lazarus, Lauren Chandler helps children understand that Jesus came to say goodbye to goodbyes forever. For more information about Goodbye to Goodbyes, go to thegoodbook.com. Before we get to the show today, I want to let you know that this season of By Faith will wrap up in mid-June with an Ask Me Anything episode. I've invited my husband Kyle to join me, and together we will be answering any questions you have for us. And when I say anything, I mean anything. We will answer your questions related to this season's theme of serving by faith, but we'll also tackle any questions you want to throw our way. So submit your questions at the link in the show notes or through the link in my Instagram profile, which is at ChristineHoover98. I can't wait to see what you have for us. Friends, if you're like me, it's easy to find yourself discouraged and weary in service. When we're in that place, how do we get back up and keep going? How do we find encouragement when we are discouraged? Today, my guest on the show is Kyle Eilman. Kyle is the pastor of Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And he has written a new book called Don't Give Up, Faith That Gives You the Confidence to Keep Believing and the Courage to Keep Going. And he joins me on By Faith today to talk about the themes of the book. Because let's face it, we all need to hear sometimes that we shouldn't give up. Kyle shares from Hebrews 12 about what faith is and how it gives us confidence. He also shares how we can respond to anxieties and other weights that pull us out of the race God has us to run. I do want to tell you that there are a few sound quality issues you'll notice at the beginning, and I apologize for that, but thankfully they get better as the podcast continues. So stick in there all the way to the end because Kyle shares some beautiful truths that will encourage you today. Here, friends, is my conversation with Kyle Eilman. Welcome, Kyle, to the podcast.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to get to talk to you about this new book you've written. You've written several books, and you're a pastor as well, right?
That is right. Yeah, so it is busy, but I'm really fortunate that I get to preach in a place where there's two of us, and we each preach about half of the time. So I get to preach and then kind of focus on some writing on the weekends, on the weeks I'm not preaching.
Oh, that's great. I wondered how you did all that. My husband also, his name is Kyle as well. He and another guy share preaching too. So I know how that goes and I like it.
We do too. You know, our kids, especially in this season of life, it is nice to not have that weekly weight. And there's some challenges, as you guys know, when you have two people kind of sharing the voice, but you know, it's very healthy for the church. And I think it's much healthier for the pastor's family. Not always possible, but we're thankful for it.
Yeah, I love it. And I don't know if y'all have the same experience, but sometimes people will visit our church and they'll say, okay, well, when is the lead pastor going to preach, which is my husband, thinking we keep having this guest preacher. He's not really a guest preacher, but we have different rotation of people. When's he going to preach? We want to be here for that. And it's something that people, it kind of takes them by surprise, but then I think once people are in it, they really see the value of having that shared preaching, shared leadership.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the idea that it's not all based around one person or one personality is much healthier. And really what we're going to talk about today, you know, that we are made to do this journey with other people. We shouldn't do it alone. When Jesus sent out the disciples, he did it two by two. And, you know, for us to persevere and endure, it makes a big difference to have some teammates that bear the burden with us.
Yeah, yeah. So let's jump into the topic of your new book. It's called Don't Give Up, Faith That Gives You the Confidence to Keep Believing and the Courage to Keep Going. Yeah. That is a book we all need, I think, no matter if you're a pastor or, for me, I'm a writer, a podcaster. There are people listening who are at home with kids or taking care of older parents. No matter who we are and what we do, we all need to hear those words, right?
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I stumbled onto as a pastor is that, you know, you talk to people who have all kinds of different struggles or stories. And as you said, maybe it's a parenting season and you're just exhausted. And, you know, it's younger kids and physically you're exhausted, or it's teenage kids and you're emotionally exhausted.
Yes.
Or maybe it's a season in marriage where, you know, you have, you know, it's just harder. It feels like hard work, and, or sometimes it's financial or physical health, but the underlying message that almost all of us need to hear, in different seasons is this idea of don't give up. And, what I found was that, oftentimes people come to church and they think they need comfort, but I would say oftentimes what they need is courage, right? Like those things aren't mutually exclusive, but they are different. So, you know, if I'm trying to encourage someone, don't give up, and they're going through a hard time, the tendency might be to kind of put my arm around their shoulder and yeah. I'm sorry for what you're going through and life is hard, when really what they need is somebody to say, hey, you know, now is not the time to quit. And you're tired today, but you can do this. God has given you the grace and the strength you need for today. You know, they need some courage more than they need comfort, especially if they already have a lot of friends and family sorry for them and giving them comfort. It helps to have a voice of someone who is using scripture to give courage and strength, mm-hmm. not necessarily comfort and sympathy. And those two things are, again, they're not completely different, but they can feel different.
Yeah, almost like a hand up to say, you can keep going, keep running, you can do it. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's an image I use in the book is, you know, a coach, when a player's tired, but there's a lot on the line, doesn't say, hey, you know, have a seat on the bench, you've worked hard, get something to drink. It's, hey, you know, you've worked hard for this. You fought for this. Now is the time that you need to, you need to not give up. And, and as you know, you see people kind of on that verge of getting some victory or some breakthrough in their life, but it's oftentimes, you know, right after something is really hard. So, you know, now is not the time to quit. Now is the time to persevere and see what God will do.
Mm-hmm. I was actually just sitting down with a friend the other day and we were talking about this, about ministry in general, and serving other people, that a lot of times we come up against these obstacles or it gets really hard. And she was kind of considering, does this mean I need to not do what I'm doing anymore? Because it's just too hard. I don't know that I have the capacity or the ability to do this. And we were kind of talking through that because I myself have been just kind of weary, discouraged. Am I doing this right? And am I doing this how God would have me to do it? So if you could sit down with us in that moment and say, this is hard, I don't know if I should continue on. How do we know that we should continue on rather than maybe I'm not the right person for the job?
Yeah. I'd say a few things. One, sometimes we interpret obstacles as a signal that God is somehow not for us. And, you know, biblically, that's just not true. Like, you know, look at Nehemiah as an example, where he experiences one obstacle after another. He was doing God's will, and it was hard, and things seemed to not always go his way, and he had opposition and enemies. And but it wasn't an indication that he had missed God's will or he should stop doing what he's doing. It's part of the journey. We should expect it. And in the book, I talk about my wife signing us up to go on a 4-mile run together, but leaving out the detail to me that it was like a mud run. It was an obstacle course. Oh. And so I'm like, I'm up for a 4-mile run. And we got closer and closer. And then, you know, I stumbled onto the fact that we'll run with 40 obstacles along the way. And that's a lot different, right? That totally changes the race.
Yeah.
And if you're training for those obstacles, if you're expecting them and you're not thrown off by them, that goes a long way. If you're thinking, hey, if I'm doing God's will, then no problem, then you're going to be really disillusioned quickly. Mm-hmm. For me, I would say in 2009, I don't talk about this in the book, but for me, I'd say somewhere around 2009, I started to feel kind of how you described, just tired and discouraged, and people wore me out, ready for a break. And I took my family and we went to Haiti for 8 weeks to do some mission work. And I got connected with a Haitian pastor there that I just grew to love. His name's Idri. And, you know, I was trying to tell Idri about how difficult ministry had been in this past season.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he just had no sympathy for me. Right. He thought, in fact, I was telling him about some emails that had been discouraging. And he thought I was being funny. You know, he's laughing because, you know, his ministry is a million times more difficult, right? Like what he has to do and what he has to endure. And, you know, I thought I wanted him to feel sorry for me, but it really helped me get better perspective when he, you know, kind of challenged me on it. And so getting some time to rest and getting a new perspective, one of the things I encourage pastors to do who are feeling kind of burned out, or people in ministry who are just weary, is to read some biographies of, you know, Christian missionaries and church leaders in the past, because it's hard not to be inspired by them. And you read their stories and you get a little better perspective, and you realize, okay, you know, God is faithful, and you know, I can do this.
Yeah. Do you have any favorites that you would recommend?
You know, my favorite is probably a guy named Adoniram Judson. And if you Google his name, you'll be able to read his story.
Yeah.
And that might be a good place to start. I'm trying to remember what the book was where I read. I read it in a collection of books or of stories. And his was the story that really kind of jumped out at me and kind of helped me. Inspired, encouraged me. The passage I use in this book is Hebrews 12, where it says, you know, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And so the idea is, if you're tired, if you're running the race, you remember those, of course, those in scripture, heroes of the faith, but you remember those who have gone before you, and, you know, they've run their race. Now this is our time to run ours. And it will be hard, and there'll be challenges and struggles. But, you know, then it goes on to say, you know, to fix our eyes on Jesus so that we don't grow weary and lose heart. And taking time to do that, sometimes that does mean rest or stepping away from for a season. You know, but taking time to fix our eyes on him and get some perspective, I think, goes a long way.
So with that passage, when it talks about the cloud of witnesses, are you including your Haitian pastor friend in that too, and encouraging people to look at current fellow witnesses for encouragement?
Yeah, I would say both. You know, so Hebrews 10, a couple chapters before, says, you know, let us consider, I think verse 24, let us consider how we can spur one another on in good deeds. So my Haitian pastor friend, Idri, probably fits a little more, you know, exegetically.
Yeah.
You know, fits a little bit more into chapter 10. Like, let us consider, I need to consider how I spur him on, and he can consider how he can spur me on. But that word spur is not necessarily like positive encouragement, which I just assumed it was, but it's more like irritate. Let us consider how we can irritate one another on. And so, you know, sometimes it's having somebody in my life that's gonna, you know, push me a little bit and you know, make it uncomfortable for me to quit or to give up. But I love that idea of, you know, let's think about how we can do that for you. And, you know, if you, as you mentioned, with you and your friend, you know, you share those burdens together. If I stop and look around and say, okay, you know, how can I spur some of my friends on and what they're doing, they'll do that for me. But there's something that happens as I speak courage and endurance into someone else's life. My heart gets filled with it. You know, there's that dynamic. I take the focus off of the fact that I'm tired and try to help somebody else with their journey.
Yeah.
And I start to feel replenished.
That's so good. And I think it's so needed in our world our world is so full of words that are negative or harsh or critical. And how often do we think about how we can encourage someone? And I think especially people that we think are doing so well in their work, we don't really think that they need yeah. that encouragement for some reason, that it just is natural to them, that they don't face discouragement. But I think often those are the people who, not that they most need it, but they need it just as much as other people to know that they're doing what God has asked them to do. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's right. In fact, I read this study that was talking about how if you look on someone's social, some of the very things that it looks like are great are some of the areas where they're often struggling. And, we have a tendency to kind of double down on our areas of discouragement instead of, being a little bit more vulnerable with them. This is easy to do in ministry. It's easy to do in marriage where you kind of post pictures and make comments that makes it look like I'm good. But in reality, that there's a struggle. And sometimes, and we see this biblically too, Elijah is a great example. After Elijah has this great victory on Mount Carmel against the prophets, he has a season of great discouragement where he's talking about taking his own life after a season of things going really well. And so, sometimes it's after kind of a mountaintop experience that we should be aware in our own lives and in others that we're maybe a little bit more vulnerable to discouragement and to despair. So yeah, I think it's safe to assume that almost, all of us in one way or another can use a little encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Is that why you wanted to write this book, or were you seeing things in your congregants' lives or in your own life that led you to writing the book?
Yeah, so primarily I just saw this thread that it was a message that almost everyone was ultimately needing, no matter what the situation. It felt like I was saying to them, hey, don't give up on this.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other reason I wanted to write the book was it's easy for don't give up to feel like like an inspirational meme. You look in the mirror and you put your playlist on, get some music going, and you psych yourself up. And that just doesn't, it works maybe for the moment, but our courage to keep going is directly connected to our confidence. And if our confidence is in ourself or kind of in our own determination or will, eventually that gets exposed, it doesn't work. And so, I wanted to write this book to deepen our faith so that our courage is coming from something real. It's not just a rah-rah message, but a faith that is deepened so that our confidence in Christ is deepened. Mm-hmm. And that gives us the courage to rely on his strength, his grace, his promises. Mm-hmm. And so it's meant to help people deepen that confidence in Jesus.
Is that what you mean when you say confidence in Jesus? Are you referring to that Hebrews 12 of faith, that race of faith? Is that how you would define faith, or how do you define it in the book?
So it's actually in, I think it's Hebrews 10, 11, but the Hebrew writer talks about, don't throw away your confidence. And so the whole book of Hebrews, the theme is Jesus is better. Jesus is better than the Old Testament, mm-hmm. better than the law, better than Moses. Jesus is better. And so this idea being that our confidence is in Jesus because Jesus is better. He's better than the struggles that you're going through. He's better than the loneliness you feel. He's better than the physical challenges that you're dealing with. In Hebrews, that is certainly the theme. And as we are reminded that Jesus is better and our confidence in Christ grows, that naturally begins to fill us up with hope and with courage, which translates into endurance and perseverance.
Yeah, that's really good. It's really good. So as we're thinking about that Hebrews 12 passage, and you're talking about, the passage is talking about these weights that keep us from running. They kind of sideline us or they weigh us down. What do you think are some of those weights, and how do you encourage people to throw those off?
Yeah. So as I talked with folks about, you know, whatever's going on in their life where they're discouraged, they feel like quitting, I just saw this reality that they are mentally determined. Like they really want to do this. It's not really an issue of determination, but if they're carrying weight with them, that's pretty heavy. It doesn't really matter how much they want to do it. They've got to let go of some things so that they can have the freedom to run the race that's been marked out for them. And so, yeah, the Hebrew writer in chapter 12 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And so, you know, I tried to just identify what are some weights that tend to get the best of us. And so I talk about anxiety. I think increasingly this is a challenge for us culturally. You know, it's kind of an epidemic. And anxiety makes it hard to breathe, everything harder. And so the Bible says in 1 Peter to cast our anxieties on God because he cares for us. If you're dealing with anxiety, that feels a little simplistic, but if you really believe that God cares, then, you know, it's maybe simple. It sounds simple, but it's not easy, but you cast your anxiety on him. The idea is you transfer the weight, you know, you ask God to carry for you these burdens. A practical way that I try to practice this and teach others is how we pray. You know, it used to be I'd pray with someone about their challenges, and about halfway through, I think we were both more discouraged than when we started, because we're telling God all about our anxiety and all about the struggle that we're dealing with. But in the Psalms, you know, David will begin Psalms by saying, God, here's my anxiety, but then he shifts it and he starts at some point telling his anxiety about God. And I think learning to pray that way, helps us cast anxiety on God. So casting our anxiety on God is probably less about telling him, here's all the things we have to be anxious about, and telling all the things we have to be anxious about God. Mm-hmm. And that shift, I think, can make a pretty significant difference for people.
Yeah, that's really good.
Another weight I talk about is the weight of religion, and just how we think if we're going to run this race of faith that religion is kind of our friend. But it's, you know, Jesus described it as a weight. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He said to the religious leaders, you know, you're constantly putting weight on the backs of the people. And, you know, if we can be free of religion, you know, this idea that, you know, rule keeping as a way to honor God and religion as a way to impress other people, you know, that's a huge weight. If you've grown up in a, you know, kind of a religious tradition, then the emphasis is oftentimes, you know, what other people think. And if you put the emphasis on what other people think, then it's really hard to ask people for help when you're going through something difficult.
Yeah.
And if you won't ask people for help, then you get tired and you quit. And if your confidence is in what God thinks and you can be free from the fear of what other people think, then you're much more likely to say, you know, as your friend did with you, I'm tired. And, you know, this is a struggle for me. And then you get help from people. But if we're, you know, too concerned about what the other person thinks, then we don't ask for help and then we quit. And then the people around us are like, well, what happened? I thought things were great.
Yeah.
It was it was more of a show than it was something real.
Mm-hmm. So how are you applying what you've written in your life, or how has writing this changed you and how you approach life?
You know, a couple of things. For me, it became really clear that I need to be intentional with kind of the story I tell myself. In the book, I talk about as mantra, you know, that there needs to be some mantras that we, based in scripture, not like self-help talk, but biblical truths that we begin our day with. And when we feel tired or weary, or we struggle or we fall, that those mantras are what we tell ourselves. Like the narrative that you speak to yourself has tremendous power over your life. And if I can flip the script and not not tell myself a story where I'm a victim and I'm tired and God doesn't see me or notice me. If I can begin my day rooted in the truth that God's grace is sufficient and his power is made perfect in weakness, if I can root it in the fact that, you know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, that, you know, in all things, God works to the good of those who love him and called according to his purpose. If I can have those mantras in my head, it's a game changer. And if you can't, it's almost impossible to encourage someone if they are going to constantly tell themselves a story that they're the victim, life is hard, God doesn't care. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be encouraged, you've got to change the story you're telling yourself. And you can do that. In fact, you know, this is what sports psychologists do. They help athletes learn mantras to replace, you know, self-doubt and fear and failure. And you can learn to do it. As long as it's rooted in scripture, then, you know, that is a confidence that you can be sure of.
Mm-hmm. And I love the Hebrews 12, how the finish line or the goal is we're looking ahead to Jesus, where he looked ahead past the cross to the joy set before him. And we look at him and follow his example. How does that help you? How does that help me? How does that help us to look at Jesus?
Most people, I think, have had a loved one go through something difficult It is inspiring. Like it does push you, motivate you. But if you have someone go through something difficult for you, especially so, right? Like, so when we look at Jesus and we see what he endured, it's not just that he endured, it's that he endured it for us. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, that is, that should give us all kinds of inspiration, number one. But number two, just a belief in the fact that if he was willing to do that for us, then, and Romans 8 talks about this, then isn't he also willing to do everything else that we might need, right? Like, if he'll go that far mm-hmm. to make sure that I can run the race that's marked out for me, then can I also be sure that he's going to give me the strength I need along the way? I think that fixing our eyes on Jesus, meditating on what he has done for us, is both a source of inspiration, but it's also just a source of affirmation. If he did this, he'll take care of whatever comes my way today.
The book is called Don't Give Up. Faith gives you the confidence to keep believing and the courage to keep going. And I'm really excited to get to read it. Thank you, Kyle, for your time today.
Hey, thank you for having me on. Great to talk to you.
I loved when Kyle said, don't just tell God about your anxiety, but tell your anxiety about God. That has stuck with me for a long, long time since I talked with Kyle. Friends, thank you so much for listening to By Faith. It is such a joy for me personally to have these conversations, but I also love creating them for you and letting you in on these conversations. If you're encouraged or helped in some way, I would love for you to share the podcast with a friend or leave a review. Join me next week as I talk with Amy Blair. Amy lives in Malaysia with her husband and children, and she shares with us her incredible story of how practicing language with a friend in her home led her to an incredible opportunity to serve and has changed the lives of countless women and children. Until then, have a great week and keep walking forward.